right now, actually, just before you said something.
Okay, so it's so funny, like, we're thinking the same shit. So they look for certain things, like, you know, that you've stayed in the United States, and I obviously have never broken any rules, nothing illegal, and all that shit. Like, very Indian of me, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. So, or very immigrant of me, I suppose. So I walked out of that, and even when I was in that moment, there's two spots I feel like I've been saying. Something you had said to me, which I'm trying to repeat and make it my own in my own, however I can. It's like, all is in order, like that returning to that feminine and centering. I'm using that as an anchor right now.
Okay.
And I said that to myself, so like, all is in order. And I wasn't thinking or having anything in my head of like how it'll go or anything. And then I walk out of it and I realize that I think I'm really scared of having what I want.
Of course you are. And we all are.
Okay. I don't know why that martyr thing is hitting so close to home, because then, like you say, that there is a payoff.
Absolutely.
There is a payoff for the struggle. And I don't know that the struggle helps my art, but it probably keeps the pain alive in my writing.
I would totally agree with that. And I'll tell you why in a minute, but go ahead.
Yeah, so that was one like super big one. And I realized I'm allowed to kind of rest. Mm-hmm. So, and say no to things. Like, mm-hmm. I had people that I was supposed to meet here for the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a BNI meeting and things like that. And I was like, you know what? I just want to lie in this beautiful, look at that bed.
Yeah.
I just want to lie, watch TV, stare at my phone, do nothing. I forgot to even bring a book to read this time. Normally, I always travel with a book. It was just like, again, reminding myself that that's the place where I create best from. And when I'm feeling free, I attract different things. And even the conversation I had with the ex, you know, the client who I mentioned mm-hmm. to you about, it was a very simple conversation. I was like, I'm not here to haggle price. And I really had the conversation in the way you did, that pain of disconnect.
Yeah.
And I showed him what else we really have to do to bring this company into a 50 CR company.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed him that, like, you know, dude, like, if you're saying 15 CR is what you're shooting for in August,
mm-hmm.
then you won't hit it in December. And that's not how I play. I want you to get there sooner, and there are ways we can do things. And his biggest, like, thing I told him, like, what would you suffer or what would you miss out on if Neelam was not on your team? He said, like, on a personal level, I won't have someone to be accountable to, and I feel like I'm accountable to you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you keep me check and you check in on me as well, like how things are moving, because it's very easy for me to get a little distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and I, what about on a professional front? He's like, well, on a professional front, you're able to get in touch with like really high profile people, and I'm sure your network is pretty diverse. And I was like, yes, you don't pay for just me, you pay for what mm-hmm. I have access to. And and he understands that. So now he's just like, I was like, see, if you were to calculate between 8 and 10K, that is where I sit per month.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, let me figure out what I can do. I'm trying to figure out where I can, you know, bring that cash from. Now, as far as I'm concerned, honestly, like Tony, like anywhere between 3 and 5 is not a bad place to be per month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a bad place to be. So even if I went 3.5 or something like that with a high margin on any business I brought in with commission,
right?
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I'll be perfectly fine, because my goal for India was 5 lakhs, which is 500,000 rupees, right?
Right.
I want to be able to, for me, that's the way I want to live here.
Yeah.
And eventually, then it makes sense for the investments I want to make in the next year, or at least at the turn of 2019, I can start investing in property here. Mm. And there's things I want to do with my parents, right? I don't think I've shared this with you, but part of that exercise I did for you, and when I sat down and wrote the re-engineering bit.
Right. Yep.
I've always maintained that I want to give mom and dad 100 grand. Somehow mm-hmm. or the other, I want to, and not rupees, I'm talking about dollars.
Yeah.
I want to give them, they'll probably not end up taking any of my money, but I want to work with that vision in mind.
Yep.
And for my brother, my goal was or has been like anywhere between 25 to 30,000, and maybe I give it to the kids, put it in a trust fund of some sort for the kids.
Yeah.
For my niece. Yeah.
Right.
So those are my motivators and drivers. And I won't lie, like money is important because I want the freedom to move and travel and whatnot.
Sure.
And pulling a number like that, like 5 to 6 lakhs a month at least, eventually it should go up to 10 lakhs per month. There are big events happening here, which are only dedicated, where they're elite memberships for certain people. Mm-hmm. And I want to be a part of that.
Okay.
And like the Sadhguru, as you talk about it, he has a big like thing coming up in the next few weeks, which I can't attend because my turnover isn't as high yet. Mm-hmm. So like the people, when you put yourself in a room with, they're the best of the best in India. Mm. These are the ones, like, so for me, the aim is there because the work I want to do in India, it needs connections.
Yeah.
Like I want someone like the education reform bit, I just need the right connects to do that work here.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do it over like the next 50 years. I want to do hopefully it over the next 20 years, you know?
Right.
It's a big, it's very diverse. And anyway, I don't know. Yeah. And and just knowing that I can come home to the US when I want to is really exciting for me as well, because one of the things that was holding me back here as well was that, like, you know, events and retreats. I even saw Jenna is having one, which I can't attend. She's having something in Florida. I'm now on her mailing list.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So like things like that, you know, I invest in those things, and if I can time it so that I can visit family and be in the States for like 2 months at a time,
sure,
that's gold.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's funny you say that, cause I don't have any skin in the game necessarily, but I could see you doing work with Jana, you know, like on a deeper level. Yeah. Right. Because
yeah, I don't know what it is.
Well, I mean, I do. Right. Well, I do, and you'll know after you talk with her. Like, it's so typical of her to reschedule, by the way. She said she's having internet issues. I talked to her yesterday, and I just, you know, I know her, and she didn't do it on purpose, I'm sure. But,
I was definitely giving her the benefit of the doubt.
But it also wouldn't surprise me, because, you know, if she was just like, you know, I can't do it this week, whatever. You know, like, it wouldn't surprise me. Because I can tell you, for years I was triggered by her. Like, we would do crazy things. Like, I would call her, and she'd like, we'd be talking for like maybe 20 minutes, and she'd like, hey, let me call you right back. I gotta do this thing real quick. I'd be like, okay, and I'd never hear from her again. And this would go on.
I would get up.
Yeah, this went on for like months, and then like, you know, finally I was just like, I got really triggered. She's like, hey, let me do this thing, I'll call you back. I said, no, you can't call me back, because you never call me back. Like, you always say you're gonna call me back, but you never call back. What the fuck is that all about? Da, da, da. And she was like, oh, so you're so triggered, right? So she didn't realize it. But yeah, she was, you know, it might have been disrespectful, might have been whatever I labeled it as, was exactly what I needed to hear, because it really wasn't about her. And now today, it's funny, like, you know, if I'm dating girls or something like that, and they say they're going to call me and they never call me back, I'm not affected anymore. I'm informed, right? And just like,
that's my favorite thing.
Well, I can tell you that it's not always easy, but it's like, you know, with Jana, for an example, it's like, you know, finally one day, like, we got into a big knockdown drag out on a call one day, and she was like, Tony, like, I just didn't respond to her. And she's like, do you hear me? I'm talking to you. I said very calmly, I said, Jana, I need a moment. And I said it in a way like, shut the fuck up. I need a moment. I'm trying to take some ownership here. And as soon as I said, Jana, I need a moment, she softened like super fast, because she realized like I was responding, I wasn't reacting, right? And she was reacting. So of course, like within moments, she was like, her heart softened. She was like, I'm so sorry, you know, thank you for holding that space, blah, blah, blah. You know, but it's like the people that trigger us the most have the most to teach us, whether they're aware of it or conscious of it or not, right? So, you know, when you talk about, because I know this is going to come up with her, I bet, like, when you talk about, like, these big, like, 20-year goals, you do realize you're not that person yet, right?
Yeah, no. can be, but I'm not.
I'm not saying you can't be, and I'm not saying it's, I'm just saying, like, are you willing to become that person? Are you willing to go through what's necessary to become that person, to have that big arms? Because right now, you know, and I'm just keeping it real with us right now, as I always will. Like a couple weeks ago, you fucking don't want to talk to people. You hate people. You know, like I'm being overly zealous here, but you know, it's like, you know, and what it takes to reform education, an entire fucking country. It's like, you aren't her yet. Is she within you? Absolutely. Do you have a lot of beliefs? Do you have a lot of stuff to goop away and get out from underneath of? Absolutely. Right. And that's the level, like the level of shit that you're willing to let go of, the amount of shit that you're willing to step into in order to become that individual who can have that big of arms. That's some of the work that you're going to be going through. And there's no way we can tackle all of that, you know, within 60 days, by no means. But what we can do is we can say, okay, well, here's some, you know, that reforming education is kind of like reforming maybe 5 to 10 people's minds right now.
Right. Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. So yep. It's like, and 'cause those are the people we're looking to help here initially to help, you know, start to get this out the gate, which will be a demonstration of what's possible as you continue to move forward and continue to confront, you know, these triggers, confront these beliefs that you have that are buried beneath the subconscious, right? You know, and that's part of what, you know, this work is here in this first, because, you know, we're just a week in here, but, you know, that's...
Is that it?
I know, right? Feels longer, doesn't it?
Feels longer.
I don't know. It's just last week, wasn't it? Like last week or so? Yeah, this is our third meeting. That's it, you know? So it's kind of like,
but it's brought a lot into my awareness. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no. We're covering a lot of ground, you know, and you know, as I begin to start moving more into like the where we can begin to articulate who it is that we're going to support, the problem, all that stuff, like that's going to be another level, but it's going to require on a micro level what you're wanting to do on a macro level, you know, say in 20 years, right? And it's how you handle this today on a micro level that's going to, you know, kind of steer, you know, the direction and the speed of which you get to that macro level of, you know, reforming an entire country's education. Like that's massive, you know, and that requires you to not be the same person.
I know, and I mean, you're right. I have enough people that can put me in touch with like the education minister and stuff like that. But even the education minister of the state I'm in, even the person said, I can put you in touch with them, but they're not going to get you.
they're
themselves. And so these are things you go through. More qualified sources, more educated sources in India, which is called the IAS and the IPS.
Okay.
And these are Indian Armed Services, and they're the police, but they're in the bureaucratic sort of kind of border.
Right.
They can actually affect more change. Yeah. So I know the people will come. I know the people will come. Sure. I just got to be freaking ready.
Because
this stuff, when it happens, it's gonna come at me, and there is a vision. There is a vision to help this nation. Mm-hmm. As frustrated as I can be with this country and its men and women, my people.
Right.
There's a part which is the same thing that you say. You know, she sits there and she just said, "I hate people," blah blah blah. And I'm thinking, everything I want to do involves people, and I still feel the same way, like about many things at times. Sorry, I just got off channel there. I think sometimes I just wonder if I could just be a writer and do my own thing and not deal with anybody. But on the flip side, I don't think that's where.
What's the easy thing to do? It's an easy way to, you know, you remember that, and this is so egoic in maybe not the healthiest way, but it does prove a point. There's a movie called Troy with Brad Pitt. And
yes.
Have you seen it?
I think I have. Am I getting it confused with the... Now I'm getting confused with the Aussie guy.
Oh, with Gerard Butler? Gerard Butler or Hugh Jackman?
The The Pine guys, the Pine kids, the boys.
Oh, I don't know.
The three boys. Or anyway, I got it confused.
Yeah, anyway, my whole point is that, you know, there's a scene where, you know, this little boy wakes up, Brad Pitt, you know, and he's sleeping and he's laying amongst a couple of whores or something. And, you know, and like the entire army is out, you know, waiting to wage war. And the one guy says, hey, listen, instead of us killing each other, you know, thousands and thousands of men, let's save a bunch of lives. Your best warrior against my best warrior. Right. And so, so Brad Pitt's the best warrior, but he like hates the king, you know, Abinognong or whatever his name is. And so he hates him. He doesn't really want to fight for him, but you know, he is like the best warrior in the world. And so the other king has his guy come out. He's this huge, like almost 7 foot big ass bodybuilder dude. And he's like, "Whoa!" you know, and, the kid runs back and wakes up Brad Pitt. And he says, he's like, there's, you know, they're waiting for you to wage war. And he's like, the other guy that you're going to fight, he's huge. He's like, I wouldn't want to fight him. And Brad Pitt, as he gets up on the horse, he's like, that's why no one will remember your name, and rides off.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and it's kind of like, yeah, you could do your writing and do your little thing. And, you know, and at the same time, it's like, it's not that you're necessarily concerned about, you know, your name. It is legacy, you know, but it is about like the level of impact that you don't want to, that you want to make requires you to have such bigger arms. And it requires you to, you know, if you also look at it from the metaphor of like being a container, right? You got to empty out a lot of shit to be a big enough container to you know, to handle that and, you know, handle all this other stuff that we're talking about. And so, you know, the container generally has to be emptied of, you know, prior beliefs and even current beliefs right now, right? It's kind of what we have started on a journey of. It's kind of like one of the things I want to lead into here as we're kind of moving forward is the creating versus producing.
Yeah.
The very, very big difference between the two. And I hear you and I see you, like, I know when you're in your shit and I see when you post stuff and you're kind of like in your emotional soup of stuff and you put it out there. Allie does the same thing, you know? And, you know, there's a difference between creating and producing. The difference is very large. See, when it comes to creating, you do so from you're not really concerned about any kind of demand in the market, right? And this is why there's so many starving artists, by the way, because they create from their own space, their own stuff, their own shit, and they put it out into the world with absolutely no care whether or not there's a demand in the world. They hope that people will appreciate their art and their creation. Make sense?
Yes.
And again, this is why there's so many starving artists. Doesn't matter what genre of quote unquote creativity or of art. We hope that people appreciate what it is that we put out. As an artist and as someone myself who's created a lot of art from a place of pain, you know, or transmuted a lot of that pain into some kind of expression without worried about a demand, I can tell you that it's very painful. Right? Because, you know, you put your heart and soul into something, you put it out there and nobody really gives a shit, or they just, you know, they give you slack or they don't give you great feedback or they judge you or whatever. The interesting thing about that, I remember back in 2016 when I went through this breakup, it was my last serious relationship, and she was narcissistic personality disorder. I didn't know it at the time. And I was just devastated. I was like broken down. So I wrote this thing, and my mentor that I mentor with, I sent it to him. I said, I don't know why. I feel really called to post this, but I want to run it by you because there's something about it that also says I could be making a mistake here by sharing this publicly. And he came back and he was like, well, number one, it's very well articulated. It's beautiful. He's like, on the other hand, I akin this to what I call a spiritual shit. And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, when I go take a shit, I'm not going to take a picture of it and share it on social media. Right.
Yeah.
He's like, that's essentially what you've done. You've taken a spiritual shit and you've let some stuff out and you don't necessarily need to share that in real time with, you know, with your audience. Right.
Yeah.
There's a difference between being transparent and, you know, transparency and being the new, you know, currency. And we see a lot of this and everything. And the same time, a lot of those people might garner attention, but they're not turning that into dollars, which takes me to the difference with production versus creation. Production is the development of something of which it's a solution where there is a demand in the marketplace. Okay. So you can take and you can be creative, but channel that into something where there is a demand in the marketplace. Right. So one of the things I'm creative about now, if I'm doing my writing, is more of like storytelling and metaphors and analogies, which I'm going to share that with you when it comes time. It's a very, very powerful piece. Now, what we're going to be doing initially is I'm going to be creating some of the messaging for you. Okay. Call that your training wheel, so to speak. Right. So once we've kind of dialed in on the who, and the what problem they've got, then I'm going to put together some pieces of which we'll get some hands raised, and then we'll decide if we want to do those, you know, close those out in chat, or if we want to do phone conversations with them. You can imagine I'm a tad apprehensive about you doing phone conversations yet, right?
Tell me about it. I am too.
I'm apprehensive because, you know, there's a certain level of empathy and compassion that I'm not sure that we're quite there yet. Obviously, you know, we just started. Yeah. Right.
Oh my God, I'm such a nice person though. I'm a good human being.
Of course you're, listen, so there comes up your beliefs. Listen, there comes your beliefs. Listen to that. All of a sudden, because I'm saying what we both know, right? Because just, it wasn't that long ago you were telling me how much you fucking, I don't want to fucking talk to people, fuck people, they're paying, you know, they don't respond, blah, 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 right? I know, you got to hear this shit now. It's coming back, right? So.
Thanks, man. Why do you remember everything?
Well, it's because it's what I'm here to do. I'm here to like confront all realities at the moment, right? So,
yes.
You know, it's not that I don't, it's not that I don't trust you. I don't know that you trust yourself yet. Matter of fact, I know you don't.
You'd be right on that. Like I still have some old bullshit that comes up, and on one of the things that Jenna has asked in her forum, mm-hmm. like what doesn't feel finished yet.
Yeah.
I feel like that, especially with the business side of things, I know everything's interrelated, I get it, but I think I've just had experiences where I was either not paid or someone else got in the picture and decided. That happened last year with someone who wasn't very stable, brought his partner on board for his work. His partner was like this realist of some sort. I should not have taken him on. I know this stuff. And who was his name even? Like, the names are just.
It doesn't matter. Right now.
Doesn't matter. So anyway, both of them, I mean, Marty was awesome. He was benefiting from the work. But his partner who we brought in to help him out now decided like, this is too expensive, even though he got a great job, a big pay raise working with me and all of that. And whatever. It just wasn't pleasant. And I just closed all communication with them because they were also non-responsive. It was like, they're not replying back. Same thing when I blew up at that girl, so to speak, or just told her like, hey, what are you doing? So I think there was like this old memory that was coming in. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've completely personally healed from those types of experiences because I felt like I trusted people and I was again let down. Yep. And I'm not blaming them. Again, I'm not doing outside anything, I promise. It was just like one of those things I meant to attract people because I didn't have the right guidance to do messaging. I didn't have anyone looking at my business like the way you are right now, at least. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think I've had anyone do that, to be quite honest, and like worry about like what content I'm putting out there. Even my starter coach, as I call her, when I first started working, she seemed nice, but like it was okay. Like, you know, it was good to get me off the ground, but she didn't really have the skill set to do the work I wanted to do or help me bring in the money, you know?
Yep.
So it was just understanding me. Someone who understands me was what I've struggled with the most. Mm-hmm. And it is quite emotional. I don't know if you can see, like, it's stirring up some stuff in me right now. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I I put myself on the line for people. I know that I do that as a mentor and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But these experiences, forget the guy we're working with right now. He's fine. But the girl I brought on that I shouldn't have, and I'm in the right mind to just refund her money. Not that she's asked for it. I will talk to you about it another time. I just want to give her money back and be like, hey, here you go. You weren't a perfect fit. I put in the time and everything, but you know, she didn't get me the results I was after mm-hmm. with her. Mm-hmm. And some part of me, like, I don't want like this money. It's like, I'll find a way to pay it back in time. You know,
yeah.
It's $60,000. It's not like, it's not a big dent on my wallet, and I'll do it by the end of the year. She right. doesn't even know.
Yeah.
So like for me, I was just like, yeah, let's just, I don't, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But with the other two people, like Marty and Travis, I was just so disappointed that Marty didn't take the right call. And it was just, I was just like, that's just not fair.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know that I've completely cleared out as I talk about it. It's mm-hmm. still.
Oh, I can hear it. Oh yeah. No, I can yeah. tell. I can just tell by your language, and I can tell the parts where you're not owning stuff. I can just tell it.
Yeah. Just yeah. so painful. And I was like, dude, how can you just, you know, leave me high and dry? I've given you the last 2 hours of the session, and you're still not putting the payment through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was things like, and these are funny enough, just to be quite honest, like, these are not ill-spirited people. They're actually good people. And had I been a little more patient and given them time to put it through, they would have.
Yeah.
I just didn't appreciate not being communicated with, right? And
yeah.
and so now, very cognizant that I want people who are communicative. I want people who are coherent in what they want,
mm-hmm.
But perhaps don't know how to articulate it or can't quite see through, you know, the forest from the trees, so to speak. I want those people. I know I can serve them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that part of the form, like Jenna has sent me some feedback. I haven't looked at it. I'll look at it when I get home mm-hmm. tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm leaving tonight. Few hours. It's just a 45-minute flight.
Cool.
I thought I booked it for tomorrow afternoon, and turns out the thing on the thing while I was booking it said PM, and then when it got booked, it said AM.
Mm.
Whatever. But it's okay. I get home tomorrow, which is what I wanted, because I want to plan out the Bangkok trip and everything as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, just start getting into that frame of mind, because I'll be meeting a lot of people there.
Okay.
Yeah. So I will be honest, and just within the last 48 hours or so, just like some asshole from high school is messaging me, like, and I was like, "Who?
Yeah, you showed me. You? I know."
Here's yeah, I was like, "Who are you?" Just like, I was like, "Why? You want to talk? You want to talk to me? And this is the message you sent? Piece of shit! You don't have the decency to call me when you broke up with me when we were teenagers, and like, fuck you! I wasn't even angry. I just looked at it and I was like, huh." Yeah, I send it to you as well. I was just like, huh. But right now, like, I can tell you, like,
you're angry.
If you give me a moment, like, hey, you asshole, fuck off.
Right.
Get off my head. I don't want you.
Yeah.
Who are you? I don't owe you anything. I don't owe you a reply. Like, who writes like that?
Yeah.
Not your bitch. I never was.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, just notice what's coming up right
this
now.
This is why I hate Indian men. This is why I hate Indian men. I'm telling you, I cannot be with Indian men. It's well, my not, shit. Like, and I know well, yeah. my mom tells me, like, you gotta not say shit like that because you'll find one. Yeah. They will find you.
Yeah. I mean.
Sorry. I don't know why that went in different angles. I'm sorry.
I mean, I just want you to acknowledge these are moments where you're affected. This is some of your work. Right? Like Indian men triggering you like you do, like they do. Here's the thing. Nobody said you had to be with an Indian man.
Not good.
Right? I mean, so, you know, and this is why I hate Indian men. Well, let me ask you a question. Do boys turn into men?
Yeah. Hopefully.
Who wants to reform Indian education?
I do.
Okay. Do you think there are Indian men that are going to be in the pathway of that possibility becoming birthed?
Yes.
Are those men nothing more than children on the inside?
Yes.
So I'm just going to put some pieces together here like I'm doing right now and let you know and let you observe where you got to get some bigger arms. Men, I have a feeling, are a very touchy subject, which is fascinating because here I am helping you, right? But I have a feeling it's not just men, but I definitely feel that there's some stuff around men. I'm not going to go there right now. Probably Jana will go there with you. And it may not even be men necessarily, but there's some sort of archetype, matter of fact, that very much you're affected by, like the old boyfriend thing. Like right now, I'm just observing you going, losing your shit about it, right? And fuck him.
Yeah, well, I'm just demurring for a hot second.
It's all good. It's all good.
I'm expressing.
I get it.
But like, I'm not going to reply to him and be like, hey, you son of a bitch, how dare you write me?
Yeah. Right.
You know, I figure for you, this is a safe space to say this shit.
It is. And but, at the same time, you know, I'm observing. It's not that you're unsafe in sharing it. It's that if you're going to share it, I'm also going to provide feedback in the fact that, you know, I've just listened to Jana recently go through some really hardcore shit. And she may share with you and she may not. I'm not going to share it. But it's pretty fucking hardcore shit.
Yep.
And I observed someone at a very high level handle some shit, right? Mm-hmm. Way more impactful or detrimental than an ex-boyfriend from however many years ago. And I'm not demeaning your situation. What I'm doing this is giving you context. If you want to handle shit like changing entire countries' education, you got to like begin to learn the tools, really embodying and integrating the tools to let some of this, the guy from 18, like that is small shit in the realm of where your soul is taking you. Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
So it's not that I'm telling you not to feel. It's not that I'm telling you not to experience whatever feelings. But that happened like what? How many days ago?
I think maybe a few days ago. Like maybe Monday, I think.
It's not that you're bringing it up that I'm observing. It's how charged you still get from it. When in fact, yeah, well, hold on. You don't get to butt. Not yet.
Let's finish, Milan.
Well, and therein lies, like, again, listen to you. Like, you're wanting to battle for your own beliefs right now. You're wanting to, I call it fighting for your own limitations, right? And I'm not going to go there with you, right? My thing is to help you make progress, not be perfect. I'm not telling you to be perfect. What I'm doing is I'm saying, hey, listen, here are, if you want to encompass, because listen, if a guy from, how old are you now?
30.
Just 30. Yeah, you're 30. You're still freaking young. I'm 45. Get the fuck out of here. I'm the one that should be going, 45. So 30, right? So this is like
40.
Huh? Oh, you're 40? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you damn sure don't fucking look it. I would have swore you're 30, for real.
I do get hit on by younger men a lot.
Well, I can see why, yeah. You don't. Yeah, you look younger, for sure. I mean, you could easily pass for like 20-something, 30, easily. Here's my point.
I get that.
Hush. Okay. Here's my point.
That's why when I'm in those rooms and I'm doing my sessions, I'm being very honest, they connect with me big time. The 18, 20
girls connect with me. Oh, you're talking about girls. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking
about girls. No, I'm talking about boys. I'm talking about boys and girls. I thought you were talking about
18-year-old boys. I'm like, they want to fucking bone everybody. Here's my thing. And again, thanks for getting me off my point.
Oh, shit. Sorry. I was just trying to not lie about my age to you because I don't talk about my age to anybody here.
Here in America, we don't give a fuck.
I know. So your point was don't fight for your limitations.
Well, that wasn't the point. There was something else, but yeah, we lost it now. Thanks.
Sorry.
No worries. It's your call. It's your transformation, not mine.
Oh my God, you're upset at me. Don't be upset at me, please.
No, I'm not upset. I'm making a point. Are you with me? Hey.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So, yeah, I micro observe. And you can be right or you can be rich. And I'm not just talking about money. So, you know, if a guy from when you were 18 can still have that amount of charge today, how are you going to handle stepping into something as large as changing an entire educational system and the stuff that's going to come with that? Because I'm sure there's men involved. There's a lot of men you're going to probably have to deal with and go through. If you can't still manage your emotions around something that happened and a guy who's reaching out to you today. Does that make sense?
It really does. And it
does. I'm holding you to a much higher standard right now. I'm not saying, oh, hey, it's okay to be human and da, da, da. My whole point around Jana was an example of, like, if I was in her situation, I don't know even who I am today if I'd been able to show up like she did. But that's a testament to her work, right? If you want to create the amount of impact that you want to create and produce the type of results that you want to produce, it requires you to have bigger arms. You won't hear Sadhguru. You won't hear Tony Robbins. You won't hear Nelson Mandela. You won't hear, you know, of course he's dead now, well, but you won't hear, you wouldn't have heard Martin Luther King going, yeah, but I just want to vent right now. Like, you won't hear them do that. Why is that? And again, I'm not shaming you. I'm not making you wrong. What I'm doing is I'm bringing an observation. This is what you pay me for. This is the kind of confront that somebody who cares, who loves, will be willing to do regardless, right? To feed into you, to share with you, to say, hey, listen, you know, like if my ex from, you know, 2016, who I was absolutely devastated by that experience because it was outside in thinking, which I'm grateful for that it happened. If anything, now, if she was to reach out to me today, of course I wouldn't answer. I wouldn't talk to her, but I still have gratitude for her.
Yeah.
I have gratitude for her because of the man it helped me become.
Yeah.
Right. That's a very different shift than, you know what? Let me just bitch about this motherfucking hoe. Da 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 da. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I could do that, but does it really serve me in my highest? Does it really share? Am I really evolving and expanding? No. If I'm still that massively triggered, right? When I say massively triggered, yeah, you're getting pissed.
And
I'm not saying it's okay to not feel, but to manage that, like look at Nelson Mandela, right? You know, someone who's what, locked up for 20 fucking years unjustly, and he came out of there loving the people. Oh my God, but he lost 20 years of his life and all this. And it's like, that'd be a good movie for you to watch again, by the way.
Yeah.
Because it shows you the level of empathy, the level, and what did he do? He went on to change an entire country. A country that the original leaders had locked him up for 20 years and put him in a cell no bigger than, probably way smaller than the room you're in.
Sure.
Viktor Frankl. Look at him. Middle of Auschwitz. Came out of it. Was in it. Loving them. Loving people. Creating his own experience. This is, you know, and the reason why I'm making this such a point right now is because you have such a big fucking vision. Which, listen, you got bigger balls than I got. Lady ovaries, we'll call them, right? I'm not out to change a country, educational system. So I have nothing but love and respect for what you're doing. And because of that, I'm also going to hold you to a different standard. One that I believe that you have not been able or capable of doing on your own yet. The only thing that's been lacking is the willingness. Because, see, I'm not here to produce results for you, although some of that might happen as we're moving forward here in this initial phase. You're the one to be producing the results, right? I want you to have the baby, quote unquote, right? To be able to say, look what I did. As a leader, that's what we do, right? Mm. I mean, now, if you turn back and say, you know, hey, you know, because of Tony Teagarden, I was able to step into the person that I've wanted to become. Yeah, it's cool. I appreciate you don't ever have to do that, because at the end of the day, none of my shit is any good unless you start thinking differently, behaving differently, right? So it comes down to thinking, feeling, and behaving. It works in that cycle. My job is to get you thinking differently so that you begin to start feeling differently and so that you begin to behave differently. You've got to have the willingness to start thinking differently. Start thinking from the inside out rather than being affected from the outside in. And to do that, we're going to be shifting some beliefs. That's the stuff that Jan is going to probably dive deep into. And I don't know what she's going to talk to you about. She hasn't showed me your form or any of that kind of stuff. But obviously, I'm going to get the recording and I'm going to listen to it. And you know that there's nobody that's going to judge you between her and I. If anything, we're fucking super proud of the fact that somebody can lean into this work this deep and this heavy, right? When you come out of that call with her, I will assure you there will be a few things that come up for you, because you're a lot like me. You're stubborn, right? Which is a benefit on the same hand, right? Because you're going to have to be stubborn to fucking make the kind of change you want. You feel me?
Yeah.
It's also the very thing that will cause you to withdraw into yourself. It's the same thing. It's the same thing that will cause you to want to point the finger at other people, i.e. Indian men. That can't be an issue. Can it be something that you observe and something you see as like that's something that needs to be worked through? Absolutely. Are you going to change Indian men? Probably not. However, what you can do is what you will discover you can do. And so, you know, when you work with Jana, when you spend that, whatever it is, 2 hours or whatnot with her, you're going to come out of there and I guarantee you're going to have a deep dive into yourself you've never seen before. Some of it you will not like, I will assure you. Some of it you will go into complete resistance. I know you, you're stubborn. You probably will be like, blah, 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 right? You know, and you might judge yourself. You might want to go in reverse 100 miles an hour. I don't think you will, right? But I think you will want to. And if you move through that, if you can take full ownership, and this is the key. Even Jordan Peterson talks about this. I've got a few Jordan Peterson videos I'm going to send you. He's a clinical psychologist. He's really big here in the States right now. And I'm going to send you a couple of his things that I think are going to be really, really – he's very intellectual, by the way. Very intellectual, but he's also – you know, he's done like – he's done a lot of work with people in human behavior. And I think it'll be somewhat supportive, right? To kind of get you into the loop of, he's got this thing, it's called radical responsibility, right? It's taking responsibility for everything that has gone on in your life. Because here's the thing, and here's what I mean by that. It may not have been your fault that it happened to you, but it's your responsibility and how you deal with it today, moving forward. Yeah. Like me, you know. When I was 7, massive child abuse. I had huge trauma from that stuff. I'm still coping with and moving through and still learning to acknowledge. You know, when you've had a 44 Magnum shoved into your mouth and your teeth broken out, you know, when you're 7 years old, that's going to create some traumatic shit. There's other people that have had it worse, right?
Yep.
There's other people that haven't had it as worse. But what I do know is it wasn't my fault that that happened to me when I was 7. But as a 45-year-old male, I have a responsibility in how I choose to respond to it today moving forward. That's where you're going to find when you have this call with Jana and probably a call with me where we go into this stuff, where you're going to realize like you've got 20 years worth of work ahead of you just in the confrontation and the responsibility to work through whatever it is, the stuff that you've been carrying. Because that's the only thing. That's what drives you crazy. You see this big vision, you see this impact, and your heart is there. And you know what? You could probably still do it. It might take you longer. It might be a more arduous journey, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
When you begin to, you know, start to acknowledge some of the beliefs that you have that are going to piss you off, you're like, I don't fucking have that. Fuck, yes, I do. Right? How do you know? Because you're fucking triggered, right? I got a client right now that's one of my partners I'm working with her, and she fucking triggers the dog shit out of me. Like, it's like this one thing that happens and it triggers the fuck out of me. And I'm just being with it. I've never said anything to her. And every time she does it, I'm just like, okay, it's my shit. Right. And once I've gone through it, once I've processed enough, then I can have a conversation with her because I know it's my shit. But I also see from a leadership standpoint, because we're talking about leadership right now, how we lead others can be very much clear in how we lead ourselves. Congruently and transparently. A lot of good leaders out there, i.e. like a Bill Clinton, might have been a good leader. He's getting his dick sucked by, you know, a woman who's not his wife in the fucking Oval Office. It's not exactly a transparent leader.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I'm sure everybody's got some shit in their closet, you know. But at the same time, like, the less lies I tell, the harder it is for me to remember the truth.
Yeah.
The less harder it is for me to remember the truth. So the less I lie to myself, the less secrets I keep from myself, the easier it is for me to move through with bigger arms and accomplish the things that I want to create in the world and the outcomes that I want to produce. Because you can guarantee at the end of the day, like the kind of stuff that you want to do, it's going to require people. It's not just going to be you. You're going to have to empower leaders. You're going to have to let go. You're going to have to trust people. Right now, you don't trust people to a degree because you don't trust yourself. And it's not a bad thing. It's a thing to celebrate. Remember, every time we come up against one of these things, it's another $50,000 a year. It's another huge stride towards, you know, some of the goals, some of the big dreams that you've got. With that, the re-engineering piece of it, you did that work, you said?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Did you write it?
I wrote it.
You wrote it. Okay, cool. How did you feel about that exercise when you were done?
I actually felt strangely lifted.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a little spark. I won't say it was like I was set on fire.
That's a good. Sorry. Shouldn't be. Yeah. I'm very cautious about like overzealous, you know, emotions, and you can tell me, right? Like, I like to be more tempered about it, you know.
I had I think, like I said, like when I was doing that, I had a few insights about a few things, so that I did it with peace and calm, you know, and a day or two before I was going into my visa interview, I just said, like, this is a time, like, I'm known to take one event.
Mm-hmm.
And then put, so like, let's say for the other me would be more like, okay, I have this visa interview. I should be thinking about anything, da, 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 and whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas everything up to this visa interview with the last 3 weeks, I just knew, I made a small list. And I always make lists, but this time I just gave myself less pressure. And I was like, I don't even know what to take to this interview, to be quite honest. Like, I was talking to myself. I was like, I don't need to take my H-1B visas. I don't need to do da, da, da. I was just going through that. And I was like, I'm just going to simplify this as best as I can. Not that, like, I wanted to physically throw up one night. Mm-hmm. Just the idea of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's, if I did some past life regression, I really think somewhere something will come up along being in a concentration camp or being in some sort of confined facility.
Mm-hmm.
Surrounded by authorities and feeling like oppression and violence. I feel like every time I'm in a system of some sort,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that. I feel my spirit is struggling.
Okay.
I really need to go through that exercise once. Like, that's why when you mentioned past life regression, when you were talking about Scientology that one time.
Yeah.
It's always been, I want to do for myself, because there is something about like the Anne Frank story. It feels very, it was something I read as a child, but that drew me into the writing and literary world, but also just, it felt very real to me, I suppose, in some way, shape, or form. Like, I've lived it. I've lived through some sort of oppression in the birth here. So normally what would happen is, like, if I have an exam, everything revolves around it and my focus has to be different, sideline things. I didn't quite do that this time. And when I was doing the re-engineering exercise, I said, I'm just doing it with calm and peace. I have paper and I just spent like an hour, hour and a half just cruising through it and just giving myself that time. I think how you've created this space for me to be able to actually give myself permission in some ways to slow down. Like, it's okay to slow down.
Right.
I need to slow down because my head moves at 1,000 miles an hour. That doesn't mean like I'm ADD or something like that. It just means that I'm moving at a quantum speed, but I'm not able to see the results of that movement sometimes.
Right. If
that makes sense. Does that make sense? Maybe it does.
No, it does. Yeah. You know, and I think that, again, you know, because I'm not doing my work that I normally would do with you because Jana's going to do it. And she'll do in probably one call what might take me to. You know, therein lies for you the willingness, the ability to right now confront whatever these deep beliefs are that you have. Because, you know, here's the thing I'm very cautious about with a lot of work, and especially even anything that might come up with Jana. You know, I'm very cautious where it's like, oh, I've got to unfuck myself before I can create or, you know, generate any kind of impact in the world. And nothing could be farther from the truth, right?
Yeah.
What we're talking about is, you know, you're moving towards, you know, you're in a car and you're driving and you're doing it, but you got your foot on the brakes. You're still getting there, but it's not there as efficiently, obviously, as we would like you to be. You know, and with Jana, she's going to say, okay, here's the beliefs that are locked up around your tires, you know, but I sincerely believe that it's not the business's fault. And, you know, it's really, and I don't like to say it's the fault of the driver. It's, you know, if you knew what this stuff was, you would happily get rid of it or you would stop it or you would quit thinking it. Right.
Yeah.
But because it's underlying beliefs, because it's unconscious stuff, right. Which is why, you know, when we start to do the stuff where I'm going to be doing the writing initially, because I want you to see that the shit works, right? That's going to give you, because then of course, ultimately also you're going to be delivering on something you feel congruent about, right? And I also want to say what I started to say and I didn't finish. I don't want you to feel like you've got to fix yourself before you can make an impact. Does that make sense? Cause I can, you know, even after this call, if you listen back to it, you go, man, like I'm fucked up, you know, you know, like that's how I felt in the past. I was like, man, I'm fucked up. How can I ever, and it's not true. I wouldn't have worked with you if you weren't. We're just getting very real, very quick and saying, listen, if you want to fly like at higher levels, this is the stuff, this is the baggage we got to be willing to let go of. And nobody's been willing or able or capable of expressing that or sharing that with you. Other than say myself now and Jana.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you're willing to go into this and this level of depth is a demonstration of your character and your leadership.
Well, and I think there's a lot of ancestral healing that and ancestral DNA level baggage that I feel like I've been entrusted with to release.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to make sense, but for the family.
No, I get it. Yeah, no, totally. Well, I'm doing it.
And I'm not showing up for it as I would. I mean, I am now, but.
Yeah.
But.
Well, listen, I mean, I told you when it came to my, you know, my, you know, the, my mom and how I was conceived. And then I found out my mom's dad was responsible for sexually assaulting, you know, a couple of girls in the family. I found that out like a year and a half ago. And I'm like going, like, and then all of my own personal stuff that I was doing in relationships and cheating, you know, at the end of my marriage and all this stuff. And I'm like going, man, no wonder, like, this stuff is ancestral. It's like, it's in my DNA. And I'm like, it stops now, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not always easy. You know, it's kind of like trying to stop a car that's in full motion, right? You know, trying to pull a Fred Flintstone, you're trying to stop a car with your feet, you know, it's like, it's not the easiest thing to do in the world. And at the same time, like, you're not doing it alone now either, right?
No, I've been looking for this for a very long time. And that's why even, like, with Jana, I'm quite optimistic. I'm not, I wouldn't say like I'm thinking about it too much, but I'm just keeping a very open heart and seeing if this is the right healer for the healer. Right.
Yeah.
So for me to do my work in the world, I need a lot of my stuff to be integrated, transmuted for sure. But there's a lot of integration work that needs to happen. And I think we're, I know I'm on the right path. One of the things about me is I've recently found out, or like this has been swirling around for a bit, is that my mom and dad were not exactly married when they conceived me, or they were married by a certain standard when they conceived me. They were just sort of dating, and they were already engaged and married. Like, my dad wouldn't back out knowing that my mom was pregnant, for sure. But, like, the family has this weird belief system that, you know, they had to be fully married because the soul of the child could then latch on to the father's soul to some extent. Something weird that the Indians believe in. I'm going to try to dig that one out to understand it. For my own sake, and then see how much I can lean into that and understand. Like, you know I have certain abilities and gifts too, so I want to see if there's some truth to it. Like, what is that? You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like maybe mine wasn't as traumatic. But then as I've gotten, as I've been in India more, I've heard like one or two things said here and there. I was like, what difference does it make? Like,
yeah, yeah.
For me, like as an individual, it doesn't make a big difference to me. But it was not like the. From what I heard, that they were married, like in the court or something. But for whatever reason, like the grandparents were like, "No, you have to do like the real like Hindu wedding and shit." So yeah, so like that shit would be interesting to explore just for the heck of it. But there's a lot of the Tiwar surname, like ours. Should you meet a Tiwar, has to be related to me.
Okay,
we're not like Patels, you know, like not all Patels are related to each other.
Right, right.
But we are. It's a small community of people from a certain part of the country, and we're like the highest level of whatever in India, the sects or whatever. But we're known to be like highly educated and come from like very humble backgrounds. Like, my dad came from a very humble background.
Yep.
So money is one of the stories that has been like this overarching thing in our life. The lack of it, Jiggy and I never felt the impact of money. We were not educated in money the way I would want to be educated in money, you know? My dad's focus was around education. He always wanted us to have the right education. So there's, he did good for a boy who just had like two pairs of clothing to go to school.
Yeah, no, he did amazing. He's a great dude, I can tell.
Yeah, we battle though.
Do you?
We have, yeah.
Yeah.
We do. And some of it is my shit for sure, because it's like, you did this to mom. You didn't stand up for her, you know?
Right.
You don't let it have worked, you know? So for me, like my formative years, I thought my mom was almost unimportant, you know? And everything was revolving around dad, so I kind of leaned toward dad a little more. And then as I saw that he wasn't making the right certain decisions where he could have corrected his own mother or his own brothers and stuff like that in certain things, I just felt like my favor tipped for my mom, but I did not like the disposition my mom had. Like, she wasn't like strong, but I forgot that feminine is strong too. So I think the idea of feminine was very rejected from a very young age.
I can tell.
And so I took a lot, like maybe it was just the soul I was. I think I was fairly evolved before I was put in a child's body. For me it was always like, I don't want to be dependent on a guy. Like, if I'm a guy, I'll be like mom. Look what mom can do, and look what mom can't have, and look at mom's lack of independence and things like that.
Yeah, no, I see that. Which actually turned out to be one of your greatest gifts. And of course, you know, it was your mom's choice, right? It was your mom's choice, but it's also turns out to be one of your greatest gifts.
Which bit?
Huh?
Which bit was her choice? I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, you know, being married, being in that position, being the woman, being the, you know, like she chose this part, whether it's socially conditioned or whatever, like, listen, she still chose it. You could have chose it, but you didn't.
Yeah, no, she's a brave one. And she carries some, come on, now, like at this age, she carries some resentment toward my dad and stuff. And I remember 10 or 15 years ago, I was like, you guys should not be living together. You're like the perfect match. Like,
yeah,
you know, as you get older, see things differently, you see relationships differently, you see the reality of shit differently.
Yeah.
And you wonder, like, what all marriages are like. And then I see my brother's marriage, which is nice, but it's still, like, for me, like, but what moves you, like having kids and now, like, spending mm-hmm. the rest of your life behind kids, what are you contributing, like, who are you helping, you know? Like, I understand karmic destinies are different and we're all playing ours out, and
yeah,
I think it's time for me to focus on my own. I've always focused on my own, I thought. But I don't know that I charged in the direction as powerfully as I could have.
Yeah, well, when you're busy, you know, projecting your values onto other people, it's hard for you to maintain focus exactly. on the road, right?
Oof, that hurt, but it's the truth.
Well, we're all very capable of doing it. I'm at a point in my life right now where I'm just very mindful, you know, outside of these coaching relationships, of projecting my values onto people and expecting them to live by them.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that's one of the words, like saying you're wrong. You know, it's like telling Mormons, it's like, you know, you shouldn't have 10 children and, you know, make that poor woman have all them damn babies and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, you know, I guarantee you, if I talk to some of them women, they wouldn't want to do that, you know, and because they don't know any yeah. different. You guys keep them locked up and da, 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 you know, it's like, but dude, that's their choice. That's their life. I mean, they're not hurting anybody. I mean, they're, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I can't project my value system onto them. Like, oh, the poor woman, she's not independent. You know, it's like, I don't know that. I'm not.
I was doing that. That's the thing. I was doing that at a very, very young age.
Yeah. Which
is, I was see it at a very young age. I was able to interpret it at a very young age, and I wouldn't say right or wrong. I know it was an acute observation.
Yep.
And then for some, as time went on, like for me, career became the top graph.
Well, sure it would, because yeah. you never want to become like her.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know.
And now I have moments where I was like, I wish I was a bit like mom.
Well, and you still can be. I think that's the thing. I think, you know, you probably threw the baby out with the bathwater, ran the entire exact opposite direction. You know, I'm not going to talk about your dating life, but I mean, I'm sure if we dug into that, I'd probably learn some really interesting stuff, right? You know, there's a reason why we're both single right now. Doesn't mean we're bad people. Doesn't mean that we're not easy to be with. You know, I think we've got some standards, but I think we've also both got some of our own stuff. You know, it's like we both have our own judgment still. And, you know, I'm looking, for me, it's like when I do meet a person, you know, I'm all about taking time and not fucking them right away. I'm all about like really getting to know who they are, what they're about, where are they going, what are their, you know, what's their stuff. And it's like actually really dating, you know. I've tried the other way. It doesn't work 45 years later, right? So the same can be said about, you know, all of our relationships, business including, you know, it's like client selection. Right? It's like, who are we picking? Who are we going to, you know, get in bed with, quote unquote? It's like I told you, like with Alex, you know, he had you jump into marriage $50,000 yeah. later without actually ever really dating, without ever really no. seeing, like, what's this person bringing to the table? Not that you didn't have anything to bring to the table, but like not assessing and then making a financial offer that was in relation that made more sense to the return that you could get. Right? He went straight for marriage. He went straight for the putty, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then it has its natural consequences. So I think what's also probably occurred is like with you, making those acute observations as a child, not being able to practice any real discernment, right? And again, none of this is wrong. Now you're looking up as a you know, as a woman, still got a lot of life in front of you, and you're looking up and going, man, you know, I like the woman I've become. I like the, you know, the vision, the broad, the bigger arms that I'm really drawn to have for the world. But I also can see in the past where I've given up a part of my femininity, and I've given up a part of that where I can actually open my heart to say there's a man that could actually come in that I can be supported by and supported with, and we could be on the same team and these other things. And I think there's a lot going on there, right? That's probably going to be discovered as you go through this process, both with Jana and I, that will allow you to realize, like, man, I way overcompensated because of what meaning I assigned it as a child. Right.
Yeah.
And between the ages of, you know, 0 and 7, we're picking up a lot of our belief systems, and it's hard to turn those things around as we become older, you know, and by the time we're 14, we've pretty much already integrated all of our cognitive functioning. Right. So yeah. Most of everything we're doing after the age of 14 is just, we're a robot, unless you're doing the work like what we do and like what we're leaning into and, you know, really challenging those paradigms and those beliefs and those things that we think are real, you know. I'm going on a date tonight with this lady that I met her yesterday. We met for coffee, and, we weren't going to date. I just met her for coffee. She was a local. I was like, cool. Hey, let's meet, you know? And, she made the statement, cause she wants to work with men around sex and using that as the entry point, but yet to help them to lead into higher consciousness, which I think is great. And then she said something interesting. She was like, she said, yeah, she's like, all the people here in Laguna Beach are superficial. They're all superficial. Yeah. They're all fake. All these fake people here in OC. And I'm kind of like sitting there going like, everybody? Really? That doesn't leave a lot of room or a lot of space for an actual individual who might be open and conscious and mindful to enter into your world. I'm sitting here and I know it's only a matter of time before all of a sudden I become superficial and fake. So that's the lens that she looks at the world through. How do I know that? Because that's how she sees herself.
Yeah.
Right? She's projecting onto the world the lens of which she sees herself. And here's the thing, here's what I'm really getting down to, and this is a good one for you to remember. You can never outperform your own self-image.
Yeah.
So be cognitive, be very mindful, be conscious of the lens of which you're seeing yourself through. Right now, we're taking some of those lenses off. We're removing some of those lenses, right? And with that, you can begin to see yourself differently, and therefore you begin to see other people differently. You begin to see, like, you can open your heart and go, man, that guy is so angry. He's so pissed off. He's so frustrated. Like, right? And you can just really go back down to the point of, like, man, what is he afraid of? Because at the end of the day, that's what I'm looking at with you. I'm like, what is Nilam afraid of? What is she afraid of? Because at the end of the day, that's what creates a lot of these barrier beliefs, I call them, right? These lenses of which you can't see any more out of than right here, right?
Yeah.
That's all you see, because that's the lens. If we can take that lens off, you can start to get some peripheral, which means you can start to get some objectivity and go, well, maybe it's this way. Maybe it's not that way. Maybe not all Indian men are like this. There are some, look at Deepak Chopra, right? You know, like, you know, you say all Indian men. Well, that's not true, because look at Deepak Chopra, for an example, right? But I'm sure there are other men. What's the one guy's name? I believe he's Indian. I could be wrong. He might be Pakistani. I can't remember. But Shetty. What's his name? Shetty.
What does he do?
He's kind of like a speaker. He's kind of like an internet sensation. Jay Shetty. That's his name.
Oh, Jay. I know him.
You know him? Yeah. Know what?
No, you,
what do you know of him? So you know parts of him, right?
Well, I don't know all of him, but I remember when I'd seen the first one of his videos, I was doing EJ work, and I remember writing him and asking him, like, if we could just have, like, a nice little quick interview, I could ask him questions and things like that. And I don't know what had happened, but one thing led to another, and I didn't end up doing the interview anyway. Something happened, like, not happened, like, I think it just fell off the wayside, or he just started getting big people calling him or something like that. And I remember out of nowhere one day, I think he messaged me. He still tags me on all his videos. Everything that goes live.
Well, I mean, here and there, I look at the work that he's doing, the messaging he's putting out in the world, and it's pretty powerful, right?
Do you think so?
Some of the stuff I've seen has, yeah. I don't have
I think it's like for average people, and I think he's just, I don't know. I just felt like that one interaction put me off of him, because I remember messages, he said something like, well, don't you see all the something I've been up to, or something weird.
something self-grandiose.
So I was like, how about asking me how I am, and how about being like peers? Mm-hmm. Like, we're, I don't need to be internet famous to be, mm-hmm. be respected.
Yeah. So yeah.
I don't work for me like that. That doesn't, you know, and yeah. I think doing is just rephrasing stories, and he has light eyes and a nice English accent, and he looks fine on a screen, so people are more receptive to him. But I don't think he's doing that. I think maybe at a mass level he might be able to get some sort of reach, but intellectuals are not inspired by him. I would hope not. Like, if I see like someone like Ryan Holiday interview him or Ryan Holiday endorse him, then I would lose my shit. You know, I'm okay with like HuffPost having him or like Mindvalley having him. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, like, the good ones won't like touch him with a two-foot pole, because sorry, it's like Prince Ia. What is Prince Ia doing? He's just paraphrasing shit. Jason Silva is different.
Mm-hmm.
He's created his own unique.
How is he different? Because he's a fucking recorded machine. Everything he does just about is repurposed and repackaged.
Well,
I saw him speak live in LA.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, here's what's interesting. I'm watching you unpack all of this. Yeah.
Say it.
Yeah, no, I'm just watching you unpack it all, and it's fascinating, right? So you have this interesting, which is going to be the first thing that we work on when it comes to marketing, and I'll just talk about it right now because we've got about another, I can do about another 15 minutes here, okay. Being an expert versus a marketer. There's a difference. Right now, your expert is overshadowing so much. The intellectuals would not touch him with a 2-foot pole because I'm an intellectual and I just don't. Right?
Yes.
There's I know. Parker. There's a lot of broke intellectuals in the world.
There's a lot of, I might be one.
Well, I mean,
I am one of them.
If you want to own it, I mean, that's fine, but it's temporary. You know, my point is that I look at what those guys are doing, and they're doing more than me right now. And yeah, it might be repackaged, repurpose, whatever. And here's what's interesting: what you said, what he's doing is for average people. He's doing it for average people. Like, really? Like, so everybody's average, and you're so much more superior because you're an intellectual. Yeah. See, I'm just going to feed some of this back to you right now. Because I can tell you, if you want to create mass change on a mass level, but you want to do it for average people. Wow. Stew on that one.
I'm going to be sitting on this flight. Thank God I won't have this recording to play, or else I'll be sitting and crying in my seat.
No, this is the shit that I want you to observe and own with a compassionate heart. I'm not beating you up here. I'm just taking what you unpack. And I'm feeding it back to you in a way that you're going, oh, that sounds, the very thing you're judging him for, you're doing. The very thing you said that he was like, well, don't you see what I'm doing? Like, you're like, the very thing you're judging him for, I'm intellectual. The intellectuals that I know wouldn't touch him with the two. Like, you're doing the same fucking thing. It's hilarious. This is shadow. This is mirror work, right? Rather than going, you know what? I don't know what was going on in that dude's life at that time. I didn't have a good experience. But you know what? What he is doing in the world, he's damn sure doing more than what I'm doing right now. And although I may not necessarily agree, we're touching on some shit, I can tell.
All I'm going to say is I've had a moment where I was like, well, he's helping someone. At least he's not harming somebody. Is all I promise you, I have not said that to myself. I'm like, all right, Jay, you can keep tagging me in your stuff. No problems. I'll, you know, whatever. But I just said it the way I said it in front of you because I felt comfortable.
Exactly. You're telling
me. To him, I swear. I remember. I see him.
Whoa! Hey, stop. Come here. Stop. Now, what you're trying to do is now you're trying to cover up your tracks.
I'm not. But I'm not. I'm telling you, I have done that. Like, I have done that. I was like, wait, she's helping someone. And I'm like, listen, at least he has an audience. And then there's a part of me, can I tell you the real truth, that I'm like, he's probably getting some of the best gigs and he's on stages that I would love to, like, be on.
Now with, the truth is there. That's the truth, with, right?
I was like, if this is what needs to happen so that I can get the visibility and get on the right places, get that, get the audience and the type of reach that I would love to have,
yeah,
in my work, then maybe I won't use the same path he does. I'm sure I'll be able to get there, but maybe not this way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is that I have thought this through? Just, I promise you, I
haven't. Yeah, well, I'm sure you. I'm not saying you haven't. And again, you're like, now you're judging yourself because you think I'm judging you.
Because I sound like an asshole.
Yeah, well, it kind of is. It's kind of a dickhead kind of, you know, way to frame it. And you're telling me, like, I don't really say that. I'm just saying it to you because I feel comfortable. Well, yeah, because you're being honest now. That's how you really feel. What you really feel is like, this fucker's getting on stages. He's making impact. He's doing stuff. That's what I want. And he's a dickhead because look how he treated me. Listen.
Well, but I know, and I know, not just that. Fuck that shit. It's more like, do you even have something really important to help people with? Can you actually help these people?
Yes.
You can't. No, he cannot.
How do you know? How do you know? How do you know?
He's not good. He's good as a mouthpiece. I know. I can.
Stop. Stop. Now you're being a judgmental bitch. You don't know that. You think you do. You want to be right. That's what's happening here right now. You just want to be so fucking right. And this is what the shit you've got to let go of. Be happy for him. Be grateful. Know that he's making an impact. Listen, there's a couple of things he did. I fucking took massive notes on one of his videos. And it was fucking helpful for me.
Stop it, Tony. Don't tell me.
I'm not stopping. I'll fucking find that motherfucker in Evernote. Because I save all this shit. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it.
No, it's okay. I'm just like,
I don't know. Oh, no. Not okay. Me, nothing. I don't know how to spell his name. I forget how to spell it.
J-A-Y.
J-A-Y.
S-H-E-T-T-Y.
That's what I thought. I don't have his name in here, but yeah, I took notes on it. I'll go find it later on, but there was some stuff that he did. I was just like, man, that's a really good perspective. Here's the thing. When it comes to this kind of deeper work, nobody's saying anything original, but what they are doing is they're saying it uniquely.
Okay.
Put that one in your pipe and smoke it for a while. You won't be so judgmental, you know? I'm just telling you, I know you don't like it. This is the shit. This is where the buck stops, and you can try and defend it and you can this, that, and the other. But, and again, I do honor you for telling the truth. You're like, this dude's doing what I want to do. And I feel like he's far less capable of actually delivering a transformation than I know I am. So number one, I like that because it tells me there's something deep inside of you that wants to get it done. And we know that. On the same hand, you don't get to be taller by tearing other people down.
No, I'm not tearing him down. That sounds so mean-spirited.
Ew. He can't create change, and he can't really. I mean, you just did it a couple of minutes ago. What is that if that's not tearing down? And behind the scenes, you don't really know what the fuck he's doing. You don't. You're not in his room all the time. You're not in his head. You don't see the people he's doing work with. You don't know the projects he's working on. Those are all projections. What?
Sure, they're going to be good projects. I want them.
You don't want them. You're creating them. And you want them to be good projects. You want them to be, listen, as much as you've had conversation with, if he's still tagging you, get your shit together, which we're doing. And he's got a big ass fucking audience. Collaborate on some level, somehow, some way down the road. Maybe. I don't know. But I'm just saying, you will never open up the pathway of possibilities by thinking that because however many long year ago or two or three, whatever it was, and you didn't have a great experience per se, and you felt like this, doesn't matter. you don't think that I've had the same experiences with people? You know who Jesse Elder is?
Yeah, I remember you telling me about him.
Yeah, and he's like got his Facebook ads, and he's doing all this thing a bit, and it's just like, I had to swallow that one. But you know what? The dude is doing the best that he can with what he's got. Do I think he's incongruent? Yeah. You know why? Because his incongruency is just mirroring my own incongruencies, and it pisses me off. And he's doing bigger, better things than I am, and incongruent than I am. I own it. Kudos to him for doing it anyway. Takes courage. Takes courage to do shit that you're not congruent in. And still try to make a difference, though. I get it. He'll figure it out. I don't think he's a complete asshole. I don't think he's trying to rip people off. I think he's got some shit to figure out.
I don't think Jay is either, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and I know, I know also that Jesse is very, very talented. I know that he's got a lot of value that he's offering that he can do and he can provide. And he's got some big ass fucking visions. And kudos to him. I hope he accomplishes them because he'll make the world a better place.
Yeah.
So with all that being said, these are moments to be grateful for. These confrontations are to be grateful for. Once you get over your little, you know, moments, right? Once you get past and get through the self-judgments and the wanting to defend, the moment you can get through that, you begin to own that stuff and begin to integrate that and be grateful, things start to shift. Because you're not trying to be right. You're not trying to hold on to what was, you know? Looking back, and I just did this as a quote the other day because it's so very, very true. You know, looking back, I can see who I was does not define who I'm becoming.
Yeah.
I'm choosing this, and that's what I want to support you with. Who you were even an hour ago before we got on the call, or an hour and a half ago almost, is not the same person that of who you're becoming. That doesn't define where you go, because right now in this call, one of the things I'm going to continue to just, you know, support you with is you get to assign meaning from today on. You get to assign meaning to the experience you had with Jay Shetty, right? You get to look back on that and assign meaning and say, you know what? I don't know what was going on. I don't know if the guy was super busy. I don't know if the guy was, you know, like, I can tell you right now, I'm busier than a one-legged midget in an ass-kicking contest. And sometimes some stuff is going by me and I'm missing some things, right? I'm human, right? I'm pushing my capacity. It's the only way that I can grow is to push my capacity. And the parts where I find that I start to fall down, those are opportunities for me to tighten up the game, which means not necessarily that I have to do it all. It means maybe I need some help. Maybe I need to get some people put in some places, right? Like right now, one of the businesses, the girl I was telling you, I get really triggered in it, is every time I notice something falls down, it's an opportunity for us to not repair, but to reinvigorate that particular part of the business. Because right now, what I'm doing with her is the equivalent of moving, is working on, doing work, mechanic work on a moving car. And that's literally what I'm doing. You know, I'm a mechanic doing work on a car that's moving. And that's tricky, right? If it was sitting still, fucking no brainer, right? But guess what? You know, it's moving. So every time something falls down or doesn't follow through, it's an opportunity for me to go, okay, we need a system for this. We need a process for this. We need an SOP so it doesn't happen, because we're going to be growing. We're going to be putting more people in us because we're the leaders. We need to put the pieces in place so that it's very easy for them to do. The problem is she's been running it all herself. And the few things that she has had some systems in, people have been, it's like kind of put together with glue and matchsticks in a lot of ways, right? And I'm like going, nope. We can't have that. That's why these pieces, now that you're not totally involved, that's why these pieces become exposed. And then these are the pieces. And then you want to sit there and go, well, why did you do this, 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 and this, and this? It's because I'm not in your fucking head. That's why, right? It's like, until this stuff happens, that's when we learn about it. Because there's no real procedures in place, right? So then that's what I come and do, and I complete the procedures. It's the same thing here. Everything that you're experiencing, that you're going to be going through, is an opportunity for you to acknowledge and own and grow. Just like this. You get off this call, there is nothing for you to feel bad about. There is everything for you to feel grateful for. That's the meaning that I support you in assigning to all of this. Not that, oh, Tony thinks I'm an asshole. I heard your phone fart, by the way. I know somebody texted you or something.
Phone is no, so it does the screen time thing. I'm going to just switch it off.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, I don't want it to yank us off. Go ahead. I'm listening, though. They're losing.
No. So.
Whoa.
Yeah, my point is you have nothing to get off this call to feel bad about. You have everything in this call to walk away with, like new eyes to see things through and to be grateful for that. And to realize because you don't see things the same, that means that things are going to show up differently.
Yes.
That's something to be grateful for.
Yes.
I got to write that one down. That's a good one, by the way.
I did.
What did I say? I love when I'm channeling.
That you have like new eyes to see things with, and that's something to be grateful for.
Yeah.
But what you said before that, actually, that's why I pulled my sheet out, my notebook out. It's this whole idea of acknowledging, owning, and growing. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Because you're not going to get anywhere, you know, you're not going to make any progress in any of this by getting off the phone thinking that I think you're a butthole or, you know, thinking that I'm judging you or thinking, you know, that, oh my God, you know, like I was an asshole or, you know what I mean?
No, I don't think that actually. I just think, you know, we've talked about grace quite a bit in the beginning, and yep. I think that's an area for me to just return to. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's so much possible for me and for people to be drawn to me when I'm in that space.
Yes.
Of like, kindness and openness without
benevolence,
being judgy towards somebody else, which I have done before. You know, that website that you brought up, like that, there's nothing filtered on that website. None of the images are filtered. They're mm-hmm. as they are, taking in natural light. They were taking in the US, so I think my skin was doing better there than it is right now. Mm-hmm. But I like that girl in that picture. I like who that girl is in that picture. Mm. She's relaxed. She's just starting on her business. She's hopeful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I don't know that the hope part is alive. It's there, but it's kind of like quicksand.
Yeah.
And then when you see other people seemingly moving forward, mm-hmm. especially with like something like Jay, it is like that space of like, oh my gosh, it just took one video to get viral. And now he's getting all these great gigs and things are so much easier and he has access to like bigger channels and bigger places and da da da. And like,
yeah,
it would be so much easier if I didn't have to reach out to people to ask to be speaking at Mind Valley. It would be great. Like I would have people just reach out to me and say like, hey, come over, we'll pay you for the flights and da da da, you know? I'm doing quite the opposite right now, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you are... Well, you're just not seeing the whole picture. Cause I bet things are more complicated for him right now. I bet things are more challenging right now because with all of that comes greater responsibility. With all of that sure. comes more moving parts. With that comes more people, which requires more people skills. You know, like you're only seeing one-sided of a two-sided world. And then what you're doing is you have this entitlement kind of attitude of like, oh, well, if I just had that then life would be easy. And like, again,
easy. I look at it more from an impact perspective, not ease. I've never asked for easy like that. Like I never imagine anything to just, you know, fall in your lap. I don't mean to make things difficult, but I just mean like, yes, I'll pay my dues. But then I think I think the way I was looking at it more was like, wow, like you have the option of having a bigger audience, like to build that pool of audience that you can
mm-hmm.
help create movements around and help more people.
Yeah. And it requires you to be more. It requires you to have more infrastructure in place. It requires you to have more support. It requires you to have more people skills and more leadership skills. I mean, you know, there's a whole lot more. I guarantee you, if you looked at his life, it's more complicated than what you might think. And, you know, you say it took one video to make him viral. I find that very difficult to believe. That one video might have gone viral, but what's all the shit he went through before that? What was his life like before that video went viral? It's like everybody thinks that somebody's an overnight success.
I didn't mean that he hasn't done the, I didn't say that he hasn't done, he
used I didn't, to be a mom. I didn't. But, I'm talking into context here, right? Because because of the statement that you made, you know, like I'm just saying, hey, listen, you're not wrong, but then there's also like, there's a lot of stuff that you're not mentioning. Why is it that that's the one thing you're focused on, right? There's all of this other that you're not seeing, which confabulates, which creates, you know, you're missing the context, which makes it mean like, you know, I don't know. I'm just saying like, again, when you start to see things differently, the world shows up differently. That's kind of my whole point. And
yes,
being able to see with greater depth and greater compassion, you know, and benevolence, the best person to practice that on is with yourself initially. Those are the parts where like that's, you still have the work that you're going to be doing there. And that's going to dictate your capacity to receive all of this that you're seeing in other people, that you're seeing with him or that you're seeing with other folks, right? It's not that you're not capable. You clearly are. What do you think, like some of the stuff that you're doing, why do you think I want to get behind you? Because those are very noble aims, right? I want to see you accomplish those things. I want to see you become that person, because right now the person that you were, there's some good qualities there. We don't want to disown any of those, right? What you're becoming though is a person that can alleviate the darker sides of all of that stuff and carry the wisdom with you. Because that's what wisdom, and Jana will probably tell you this, wisdom is the memory without the charge.
Oh, so good.
That's how come I knew that that guy still was under your skin from age 18, because there was so much charge there. Otherwise, it would just be wisdom for you. Wisdom is the memory, but without the charge. That's what I'm calling in for you. That's what I'm supporting you with. Looking back on the conversation with Jay, what's the wisdom you could extract, not the charge? Because you're looking back on that memory, right? And I just did the fairly recently with same thing with because this was just what, like maybe 8 or 9 months ago with Jesse.
Jesse, yeah.
You know, and it wasn't until recently where I was able to look back and go, you know what, I really hope the dude gets it together. I really hope he does well. I hope he gets the help. I hope he gets the support. I hope, you know, because I see he's still trying to do the good thing. Now, if he was royally trying to fuck people over, that'd be different. I mean, I might have a charge, but I'd still have a deep sense of compassion. I don't think he's trying to fuck people over. I think he's trying to do good in the world. I think he's got some irresponsibilities and incongruencies within his own financial life that he's still trying to figure out, because the guy is a major creative also, which comes back down to the creative versus a producer, right?
Yeah.
You know, now he still does very well on a high level. I mean, he still does, you know, $2 million a year, but he's still, there's some pieces that he's incongruent. You know why? Because he just mirrors back to me the areas where I'm incongruent. And so yeah. I'm grateful for the lesson that he's given me. I'm grateful for that opportunity that I got. At least I still got paid. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he wasn't going to pay me, but it just took for a fucking ever for it to come together. Right? But at the end of the day, the lens that I choose to look at will dictate the person that I become moving forward. So with that, be proud of the work you've done here today. We've actually gone to some really good places, believe it or not. And this is what I love about working with people that are, you know, again, I know it's still going to be some digesting for you. It's okay. But I just really honor your willingness to go into these places and have these conversations and to begin to own some of this stuff. And it's really not even owning as much as it's just integrating.
Yeah. Yes.
Just integrating.
Yes. 1000%. Yes. This is the real struggle. Mm-hmm. This is one of the big struggles. Like, I want to be happy for other people's success. And right now, I'm not able to be.
Well, right now, you haven't been able to be, but you can be.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So here's your work between now and the next time we talk, which will be probably after you get. So you're talking with Jan on the 2nd, which is what, Wednesday?
I don't know. Let me check.
I believe.
It's a Friday.
Oh, second?
Yeah.
Oh, second, yeah, it is. Okay, so what you and I will need to do... Oh, wow, she pushed it out. Oh, okay, yeah, I see.
So she's out this week.
Yeah, I see that. So here's two things that I would like you to do between now and say, Tuesday, because let's do Tuesday morning.
Okay.
I want you to pick three people. Jay's one of them. That you see, and the other two people are other two people that you see doing the kind of work that you aspire to do.
Okay.
And I want you to find the reasons. What are the reasons that you are excited for their success, their impact, and their reach?
Okay. Gosh. I'm probably going to be crying while I write this one, because I'm going to be like, good. I have to say something nice.
I mean, right there, just look at your lens, your yeah.
Like, phew, like,
how helpful is that gonna be, right?
Tony, don't judge.
I'm not judging. I'm just pointing out refined study of the algorithm. So,
but I think I'll walk out of it feeling very liberated and happy. But while I'm thinking about it right now, I was like, oh, but I'm like, who are my other two people? Mm-hmm. I think I know one of them.
Good.
We'll see if that's the one I pick. Maybe I might do five. I might just shock myself.
I like that. Such an achievement.
Actually, I might do more. I'll do more than two. I'll do more than three. Promise.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm only looking for three, because they should be, I say should, but I'm saying, like, when you do them, you know, what are the top three reasons why you're excited for their success?
Yeah.
And then here's the thing. Hmm. Because this is something we're going to do with you.
Okay.
Actually, no. So after you've done those, here's the next exercise.
Oh, there's one more?
Yeah.
Okay.
When you're doing, and as you're doing the great work in the world that you're starting to do right now with me, what are the benefits to you? And then you can just underneath this, what are the benefits to you? What are the benefits to your family? So underneath the, what are the benefits to me? You could just put family.
Yes.
What are the benefits to your friends, your inner circle of friends? What are the benefits to the community that you live in right now? Like, where you're at with your parents, what's the benefits to the community?
Mm-hmm.
What are the benefits to the city itself?
Gotcha.
What are the benefits to the state that you're in? If they're, you know, like here, obviously in the States, it would be, for me, it'd be California. What are the benefits to the country? And then what are the benefits to the world?
I got to change my thinking.
Oh, let me tell you. Let's call it shifting instead of changing.
Okay.
Shifting has a much more kind of flow vibe to it. So this is one of the exercises that begins to expand literally not only your thinking, but your beingness, right? Because with these two specific strategies, you know, the top three people, why you're excited for their success, and then going into your own What are the benefits to me personally? I mean, there's easily, you could have 200 reasons, 200 benefits when you do that second exercise. I've done it and come up to over 200.
Wow.
Because here's what happens right now. Even though you've got some bigger pictures of things that you want to accomplish, you've got, you start to see, even though that, you start to see your problems as on your way instead of in your way.
Sure.
So when you start to have a vision that's articulated at the level of what are the benefits to me, like there could be tons of reasons of what are the benefits to you. Having a thriving business that's online, speaking, virtual, whatever, right? What are the benefits to me? What are the benefits to my family? Because you don't have a spouse yet. What are the benefits to my friends, my immediate circle? What are the benefits to my community? What are the benefits to the city? Like, what are the benefits to the state? What are the benefits to the country? What are the benefits to the world? Like, when you start to really think about all of that, you realize real quickly, like, how much of your own stuff is keeping you tight, living in a little tight world. And you realize, like, I gotta let this stuff go. My God, like, right? And all of a sudden, you start to be like, to me, it's liberating. It has me excited. Like right now, I'm going next month. I don't have to, but I'm going 3 nights ayahuasca ceremony because I want to dive deep. It's not that I think I'm fucked up. It's not that I think I got, you know, but it's like, I want to elevate and express, you know, the highest form of me, the highest self of me that is formless, boundless, purpose, you know, that has purpose and that is completely perfect as it is trying to express itself through this form known as Tony Teagarden, the label that I'm giving it, right? It's desperately trying to express itself in the highest way possible. And for me, the easiest way for that to happen is for me to like completely lean into that self, completely yeah. release and let go of whatever stories, both today and ancestral and karmic, that I might have. And in the meantime, as I'm leaning into what are all the benefits in this 3D world that we're both walking into right now, all of a sudden it allows me to much more easily embrace the release, embrace the transformation, embrace and confront the things that I feel. I don't need to go out and find them all the time. I don't need to go unfuck myself. But when they come up, I need to be willing to go, okay, I let go. I get it. Like my client, because we both, matter of fact, that's where I met her, was at an ayahuasca ceremony. You know, we've already bumped heads once or twice. And rather than me going at it, go, well, bitch, this is what you're doing wrong. You know, like instead of that, I'm like going, she wrote back in a text. She's like, I sense some irritation. And I wrote back, I was like, yeah, it's because my inner incompetence is being triggered right now. And she couldn't argue with that. Matter of fact, she sent me a message later on, like the day after, and she's like, I just want to tell you how grateful I am for you to share with me and be transparent in what you were feeling and your, you know, what you were experiencing. And she's like, that's the kind of men and the kind of people that I'm calling into my life. So thank you for mirroring that back to me, because I know it's not always easy for me to do either.
Yeah.
See how much more being present, being conscious with this stuff, owning it, being transparent. The impact, look at the impact that it made in my circle of friendship right there. Cause she's a friend as well as, you know, a partner. Instead, I could have easily been an asshole. I could have been a dick. I could have, you know, fired back. I could have started being passive aggressive and being resentful or attacking her for, hey, well, this is how you're showing up. And none of that's a helpful thought. For me, it's taking ownership. Now, will I point out to her once I've kind of been able to articulate what I feel her role would be better served to do in order so that these things don't occur? Because I'm noticing it's not just with me, it's with other people in the team, right? She'll be way more open to me having a conversation, because I can say, hey, Diane, are you open to some feedback? Are you open to me sharing with you? And then she'll say, absolutely, because she knows I'm not going to attack her. She knows I'm not going to try and make her wrong, because she's already seeing that I'm able to own my own stuff.
Yeah.
See how that plays?
Yes.
That's leadership. It's because we lead ourselves. And so those two exercises will take you some time, but they will be very, very powerful. I think the first one you'll probably get through it probably easier so than the second one, but I'll let you decide that. You just roll with it. But the first one for me was a little challenging.
Yeah. I'm going to start thinking about it on the flight back, like, who are my five people? Because there are people I watch and I'm like,
Pick like Jay's a great one because it's good. It's a divine intervention that I even brought that up because there's some of that stuff, that energy that you're holding around him. Right.
Yeah. And, embody is the word you've given me. And, we're getting closer. Sure. Right. Let me drop some of this shit down though. Like, it needs to be put out, you know, like into this kind of a container because it can be held and it's not toxic and doesn't feel like I would not talk about this to a friend, like 100%. I wouldn't tell, like, you know, like they wouldn't, there would be no point because it wouldn't be a spiritually, like, it wouldn't feel sacred enough in a way because then it's just like, oh, I'm just bitching about an ex. No, I'm not bitching about an ex. I'm really working through some, like, stuff that you watch it. I haven't reacted to it.
Yeah.
And until we sat in this conversation, I didn't react to it because I just, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it came in and went out, but I still showed it to you because I was like, I got to show this to Tony, you know?
Yeah. It's because it's how you really feel. Which is good.
Yeah, but then it came out here because when I sent it to you, you said I would ignore it, like if it was me. And I was going to ignore it because I'm not replying back, right, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But then when we're in this conversation and again, like, you know, as I'm talking about something quite animatedly, and then I talked about this because then I'm like, fuck you, like my New Yorker comes out in me. Like that does happen sometimes.
Well, that's
and, like, that whole. Yeah, but again, but then also like that weird, like that archetype thing you're talking about there. There is this thing around men for sure. And then like when I see this, then I quickly go into that story like, Indian men, what the fuck, you know?
Yep.
Like, why don't you communicate better? Why don't you, you know, better? And, you know,
wisdom is memory without the charge.
Yes, sir.
That's how you'll always know whether you're in it or you're not, you know?
Okay. Done.
So, all right, honey, great work. Here's what we're going to do on Tuesday morning because I don't want to wait. I want to get into the marketing side of it. So come Tuesday morning, we're going to start diving into the audience. We're going to start diving because I'm going to take your certainty tool and some of that. And we're going to start to begin to architect the problem, who we're going to go to. Maybe even next week, obviously before you, what we'll do is maybe do a hand raiser or two on your Facebook, just to start getting some kind of idea, but we may or we may not. I want to see how on Tuesday morning, we'll start to dig into, where we want to apply ourselves, you know, the problems we want to apply ourselves to and what we want to do. So we'll get clear on that on Tuesday. Well, again, we'll probably set aside 2 hours that morning.
Okay. Do you need me to do anything for that, like any prep work or anything, or am I good for now?
Well, here's what I'm thinking is U.S.-based clients, do you have any record of people that you have helped, U.S.-based?
Yeah, well, but not as many. Like, you know, yeah, Marty, it's not like a big number.
Okay. What I would like to see is the top three that you've helped.
Okay.
Okay. And how you helped them. So let's do this. So the top three people that you've helped, what was the problem that they thought that they had and how did you solve it?
Okay.
Okay. So that along with, we'll cover. So in the beginning of the call, we'll go over the exercise that you're doing here that we're leaving with today. We'll discuss the takeaways there. Then what I want to do is I want to see those top three people, the problem they felt that they had and the result that you helped them get. I want that to me before that call so that I can have some time to digest that. And then what we'll do is
I'll do that first and have that over to you this weekend.
Perfect.
So that your inbox sooner rather than later. So hopefully by Sunday night, my time, and that would mean
that's
Sunday
fine.
Morning yours.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. And that's like me just sitting down for like 2 hours and getting that over to you and then moving on to the next exercise, because that's going to be like really inner work, the second one. Well, that's not the second.
Yeah. And if they have Facebook profiles, I want to see those too.
For sure.
Okay. Because I want to take a look at what their feed is like and what they're posting, all that kind of stuff. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, honey. That's it. Good work today. All right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
You bet. And I'll have the recordings and stuff up for you here. Probably won't be until, I might not have it over till late tonight or something.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Cool.
Yes.
All right. Appreciate you. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.